Well, let's read Galatians chapter 4, and I want us to start at verse 21 to the end of the chapter. So Galatians 4, 21. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not of the children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you again for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivers us, who makes us to inherit eternal life. Indeed, we are the children of God. Lord, we bless you and praise you, O God. We worship you. Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. Show us your kingdom. Show us your truth. And Lord, by your Spirit, speak to us that we might look to Jesus and be saved. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. Lord, we love you and adore you. Please, Lord, be with us. Speak to us, O Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, remember some weeks ago we were talking about Romans 8 and verse 28. For God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that it's really election, predestination is conditional. It's to those who love God and again to those who are called according to his purpose. And we're really sort of looking in these last few weeks at the purpose of God. What does it mean to be called according to his purpose? And we looked about how, indeed, it's the call of faith. In Romans 1, he talks about, you know, the called, the obedience of faith. And in Romans chapter 9, he also talks about how God's purpose, according, you know, to his election, would stand. And how he chose one over another, so that it might not be according to works, but according to the one who calls. Which means it's the language of faith. That how one becomes saved is by being called. You know, and it says even in Hebrews, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Right? So when God speaks to you and I, he calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose and how we should be saved. And I want us to just open up this a bit more. We're going to look here in Galatians chapter 4. But remember, last week, we looked in Hebrews 11, and we talked about Abraham, and then we went over to Genesis, and we did spend some time, did we not, last Sunday, looking at the patriarch Abraham. Because in Abraham, what do we find? God has established the standard of salvation. And what is it? It's not works. We see that Abraham was a sinner, right? He lied in regards to his wife and said, "Oh, she's my sister." And he did it not only once, but he did it twice. And that's just there to show us Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham was a sinner as well. But what do we find about Abraham? He believed in God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Justification by faith is established in Abraham. We see it presented there. And from that, there's a covenant that God creates with Abraham. And he says, through your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. All people are going to be blessed. And what do we find? That through your loins, Abraham, through you, from your own body. And then we find out that through Sarah in her old age would come a child. And through that child, would come the one who inherits the promise, the Christ. And we looked over in Galatians 3 and we saw that the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, and that seed was Christ, and that through Isaac then, this child of promise, comes our salvation. So there's a covenant that God establishes in Abraham, justification by faith, but then it's fulfilled by a seed, a child that would come from Abraham, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Isaac, this child of miraculous birth, because Sarah was 90 years old, clearly beyond the age of bearing children, God wanted us to see something. And again, this all alludes to this purpose of God. What is this purpose of God? Called according to his purpose, that the child of God is born of the Spirit. So now we're going to see that Paul actually brings this out here in Galatians. And the question for you and I, and why this is so important, do you want to be a child of God? You see, this isn't just some sort of obscure, difficult doctrinal study and interest for you and I to think, oh, well, that's something important for theologians to consider. No, this is really important for you and I. This is how you and I can be a child of God. Imagine being in a situation where people are telling you, well, you're an unclean Gentile. You're separate. You're not able to be a child of God. But only we who are physically descended from Abraham, only we are the children of God. Or you have to then become like us, receive circumcision, become a Jew, and then you can become a child of God. What a burden that would be. What a horrible thing that you then have to become a Jew according to the flesh to be considered a child of God. But no, Paul wants you and I to know and understand that we can become children of God through Jesus Christ. And let's look at this. Let's look at here. So Paul in Galatians, of course, right, the Galatians got caught up in an error. There were these Jewish people who came to them and said, you know, no, look, you're not complete. You actually need to become Jews. You need to receive circumcision. You need to start keeping the law, and then you'll be blessed. Then you'll really be what God wants you to be. That this is God's purpose. Now, Paul says, you know, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? I mean, if you're going to be of the law, shouldn't you look at it and shouldn't you be familiar with it? And so Paul does is he says, look, let's go to the law. Let's go to the Old Testament and let's actually see what the law says. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. And this refers to what we read even last week about the story of Abraham. Remember, God said to Abraham, through your body will come a child and that one will be the heir. And so Sarah was barren, and Sarah thought, well, let's make this happen. Let's force the hand of God. And so you can go into my servant, my maid, Hagar. And Hagar did conceive, and she bore a son. And what was his name? Ishmael. And Abraham loved Ishmael. But Ishmael, then, here in this story, what? He's the son of the bondwoman. He says here, this is allegorically speaking, meaning, don't you see that these stories here in the Old Testament, they portray a sign, they portray a symbol, that they were to understand that the true child of God is not according to the flesh, but it's according to the Spirit. He says, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, this can be a little difficult, but persevere with it. Try to understand what's going on here. That when God set this story here with the story of Abraham having a child through Hagar, that it was symbolic of everyone who's according to the flesh, everyone who then is under the terror of Mount Sinai. Now, you know, if you look over at Romans chapter 8, you'll see this whole conflict between the two covenants and also a conflict between those who are slaves and those who are free. Because that's what we find here in Galatians. You see, there's two covenants, and then you see in Romans 8, you see that also there is this slavery and then there's freedom. Okay, that's borne out here. So in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, Paul writes, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And he says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So, again, God's purpose is that he would have children. And God wants you to be his child. But you cannot become God's child according to the flesh. You can become God's child only one way, and that is by adoption through Jesus Christ according to the Spirit. That's how you become a child of God. And that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And he says, you've not received a spirit of fear leading to slavery again, like even unto this allegory of Hagar representing Mount Sinai and the law and all of that. No, we've received a spirit of adoption. And what happens? You then become a true child of God. And by the Spirit, you cry out to God the Father and you say, Abba, Father. So here's this contrast that's laid out. You can see it as well in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read this recently as well, the contrast between Sinai and Zion. It's also borne out there. For in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18, the writer says, which I believe is Paul, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, into the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word would be spoken to them. Right? For they could not even bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. You see that spirit leading to slavery? You see that imagery there in Galatians 4 of Mount Sinai bearing children who are to be slaves? And that, yes, if we go to God's law, if we go to Mount Sinai and say, well, I'm going to become a child of God by this Jerusalem, by this bond slave, by this way, what do we have? Slavery. We have fear. We have oppression. Because why? You and I cannot keep the law of God. Go ahead and try. Go ahead and live a perfect life. Go ahead and say, well, I'm going to keep a list now, and these are all the bad things I've done, and these are all the good things I've done. And what are you going to find? Just one mark against you. Just one little sin against you means what? A holy God must judge you. A holy God must say, I cannot turn away my face from iniquity. The one who sins, his soul shall die. And if we are weighed by the weight of God's law, we come under terror. We come under bondage. Even Moses himself was in fear and trembling at the Mount Sinai. But what does it say in Hebrews 12 about us? But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of, notice, the firstborn. You see, you're born of the Spirit, like Isaac, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. How? Through Christ. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. You see, there's a contrast here. There are those who are according to the flesh, but what does it mean? They're in bondage. They're in fear. You know, if you rest upon that which is according to the flesh, you've got to rest on your own merit. You've got to stand on your own legs. You've got to be saved according to the flesh yourself. But no, there's no hope in that. You cannot claim to be a child of God then. We're all sinners. God sent his Son into the world to save you from such bondage, from such terror. But Jesus can give you eternal life. Jesus can make you a child of God. You see, our Mount Zion, our Jerusalem, is heavenly. It is from heaven. That means our birth is such. Now, this whole point about the covenant, because we see here in Galatians 4, that these are two covenants. Remember, God established a covenant with Abraham. He said, behold the stars, if you can count them, so will your descendants be. And Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham obtained a covenant based on faith, justification by faith. But here's this covenant, Mount Sinai. You see, God also gave them the law through Moses. And he said, look, I want you to keep this covenant. But that wasn't the first covenant. We see this in Galatians chapter 3, and he says in Galatians chapter 3 in verse 17, he says, what I am saying is this, the law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. The gospel was there with Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham. But just because the law came some 430 years later did not invalidate the covenant that God already established with Abraham. You see, some people think, well, you know, the Old Testament's all about the law. It's all about this dark thing, this bondage, this Mount Sinai, which causes us to be afraid and condemnation. But now in the New Testament, we have the joy of the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ and you can be saved. But no, you're missing something. Abraham found that gospel first. Abraham is the father of the faith, and he had a covenant of grace. Now, God then gave the law. But why? Why did he give the law? He says, verse 19, why the law then? This is Galatians 3 still. It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by an agency of a mediator until the seed, that is Christ, would come to whom the promise had been made. So here again, it starts with Abraham. He believes in God. He obtains justification by faith. Why did God bring the law through Moses? What's all that about? I mean, we can't keep it. It just brings condemnation. The seed would come, Christ, the righteous one. He comes, and what does he do? He fulfills the law. Jesus Christ fulfills the law. You see, there's two covenants. There can be a covenant just under the flesh, that law, but no. Christ comes, and he fulfills the law. He establishes a covenant that cannot ever be moved. So we find here in Galatians chapter 3 that in verse 10 he says, for as many are of the works of the law are under a curse. Right? Who hasn't sinned? You and I, we've all sinned. We're under a curse. But Christ, verse 13, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? How? Having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So when Christ came, he did two things. He fulfilled the law by being perfectly obedient. He never sinned. And then he went to the cross, and what did he do? He took upon himself our disobedience. He took upon himself the fact that we are deserving of the curse. We've broken the law. Christ fulfilled the law, not only in fulfilling righteousness, he lived the life that you and I should have lived. But then what did he do? He went to the cross and took upon himself punishment for our sins, so that you and I might be delivered from this curse. And that's how you and I can become the true children of God. That's how you and I can obtain the promise of the Spirit. That's how you and I can obtain the blessing that was first given to Abraham, so that indeed, truly, it can be said, all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you, Abraham. Christ comes. He delivers us from the curse of the law. So in Christ, in Jesus, is a covenant that will be everlasting and perfect. Now, again, this is very important for you and I to understand. We need to understand, how can I be a child of God? Am I supposed to listen to these false teachers like the Galatians listen to, who come to you and say, well, you know, according to the flesh, you need to become a Jew. We need to have you circumcised. You need to become like us now. No, that's bondage. That you know, don't listen to them. They're false teachers. And even in the Christian church today, there are Christian teachers who will tell you the same sort of bondage. Don't listen to them. You don't need some pope. You don't need some hierarchical church, high church system. You don't need some legalistic evangelistic pastor who tells you that you're not a true child of God unless you're doing this, that, and the other. No, if you're in Christ, you're a child of God. You're made right with God. You have all of his righteousness afforded to you, and all of your sinfulness is laid upon him. Remember 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this is very important for us to know and understand. So those of us who may want to listen to the law, right, who want to follow it, will listen to it. In other words, really take it to heart. Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman. And what did it lead to? Slavery, bondage. You cannot find salvation. But what is this other son that Abraham had, right? He says in verse 26 of Galatians 4, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. You see, this child, this second child, was born according to that which is above, born according to the Spirit. You see, she is our mother. Jerusalem, that is in that sense, we're born of the kingdom of God. And if you're born of the kingdom of God, what does that mean? You're a true child of God. Now, Jesus himself spoke of this. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3 when he was speaking to Nicodemus? You see, this is not Paul's own doctrine. Paul didn't come up with this himself. Where did Paul get all of his understanding and doctrine? He got it from Jesus. And in John chapter 3, where it says that this Pharisee named Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he says, well, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God, because no one can do the things that you're doing unless God is with him. Jesus says to him in verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God, meaning you cannot obtain it. You cannot enter into it. Here's a ruler of the Jews. Here's a man who thought for sure, I'm part of God's kingdom. I'm a shoo-in. I'm most definitely going to be in God's kingdom. And Jesus is saying, no, you have to be born again or you're not even going to see it. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. And this man is so carnal in his thinking. He thinks, well, you know, how can a man be born when he's old? Does he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Is that how it happens? And Jesus has to just really come down to his level, and he has to lead him through 1 + 1 = 2. He has to bring the teaching down to this man's level where he's at. And he says to him, he says here, where is it? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. He says here that truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to be born of water is that natural birth in the womb, right? You have to have that birth. Sure, you have to exist, but then you've got to have the spiritual birth. So he distinguishes between this natural birth that Nicodemus is thinking about, being born of your mother's womb. Yes, but you must be and the Spirit. You must be born of water and the Spirit. And then again, he's emphasizing so that you might enter into the kingdom of God. And this is borne out clearly in the next verse. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So again, how can you or I become a child of God? It's not by being born according to the flesh. Whether you think, well, as a Jew, as a physical descendant from the literal line of Abraham, that I can trust and think that I'm going to be a child of God? No, it's useless. It's of no value. You have to be born of the Spirit, like Isaac portrayed, as Isaac portrayed. For he quotes Isaiah here in Galatians 4, he quotes Isaiah 54, and he says, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. You see, the one who is born according to the Spirit has Christ as their husband. It is not according to the flesh. It is not disinherited. Obtains the inheritance. And if you go over to Isaiah 54, I mean, the whole chapter brings out these blessings. But, you know, we're not going to read the whole chapter. But, you know, you could look at Isaiah 54 in verse 13. All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. Verse 14, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. This is just one of the blessings for the child born according to the Spirit. All your sons will be taught of the Lord. And you know, this is the superiority. This is the greatness of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. You know, the previous covenant was Jewish. Everyone in the tribe of Israel, according to the flesh, they all were circumcised. But guess what? They're not all saved. Right? You had good Jews and you had bad Jews. Now, Abraham's faith was there. They could all believe in Christ. But if you're born physically of Abraham, it didn't mean that you're saved. It didn't mean that. But the new covenant that's coming, the new covenant in which those who can say, I have Christ as my husband, I'm in Christ's covenant. It says here, all your sons will be taught of the Lord. There'll not be one of them who's not saved. Meaning that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're saved. And everyone who's in that new covenant that Christ brings is saved. And this is brought out in Hebrews 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, where he's showing the excellency of this new covenant in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 8, he says here in verse 8, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them." You see, the new covenant in Christ is not imperfect. If you're in Christ, everyone is saved. No one can say, well, know the Lord when you're in Christ, because you do know the Lord. You came into the covenant by coming to faith in Christ. You see, they shall be my people. This is God's purpose, called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose? He wants a people for himself. He wants you to be his child. And how are you going to be his child? By faith in Jesus Christ. Look over here at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. And we find that Paul again is very much caught up with this. And he wants the churches to know and to understand. So in Ephesians, in chapter 2, okay, the Ephesians were Gentiles, just like the Galatians were. And in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles," verse 11, "in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision." Again, this whole thing about there are Jews according to the flesh, and they'll tell you, "You're not a child of God. We do the practice of circumcision." Well, here are these who practice their circumcision, and they call you Gentiles in Ephesus uncircumcised, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And isn't that true? People who are in darkness, they're not yet saved, they're lost. This is indeed our condition. We're separate. But what has happened? But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. So don't let anyone tell you that you're a second-class citizen in Jesus Christ because you're a Gentile. Don't let anyone tell you still that those Jews who are according to the flesh, that they're really the children of God. Don't let them feed you that lie. No, you are the Israel of God. You are the children of God if you are in Christ. Jesus Christ is the only true child of God. And if you're in him, you are a child of God. He has broken down this barrier, this dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. And how did he do it? Verse 15, "by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it was not just for the salvation of Gentiles only, who are the unclean dogs, as it were, as it says in the scriptures, the uncircumcised. No, it's for the Jews as well. The Jews are just as unclean as well, though they might like to think that they're clean. But no, when Jesus went to the cross, he made a way for both Jew and Gentile to be saved. In verse 17, "and he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." He goes on here in chapter 3, and he wants them to know just how great a burden he has for the Gentiles. He says, "I, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you." Paul Paul had a special revelation. Paul had a special understanding at this time about what God had given and what he was doing. And he says, you can refer to this when you read. You can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations it was hidden, it wasn't known. But do you realize that in Paul, God brought about something truly amazing? It wasn't understood. Even Peter himself stumbled over this, and other Christians who were Jewish, they thought, well, still the Gentiles really are second-rate citizens. They really are separate. They're not like us Jews who believed in Jesus. No. Paul says in verse 6 here of chapter 3 of Ephesians that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see? How do you become a child of God? It's through Jesus Christ. And don't let someone tell you that you're a second-rate citizen, that you're, you know, still unclean. No, you're just as equal with Abraham. And I like this analogy. You know, think of the analogy of a long line. Let's say you're going to some event, some sporting event or theatrical event, and there's this long line. Well, let's make it spiritual and say it's the gates of glory going into heaven. And there's a long line of people, and you're standing in the line, and you're a devout Jew. And the one in front of you is your father, and the one in front of him is your grandfather and your great-grandfather, and you can trace it all the way to Abraham. This long line of that you're in. And Paul comes along and says to you, guess what? You're in the wrong line. You ain't getting in the kingdom of heaven. Imagine how upset you'd be. What do you mean? Generation after generation after generation of Jews, we have been standing in this line, and sure as anything, I'm getting into that place of glory, they'll say. Quite a pretty offensive statement by Paul to make. He says, no, according to flesh, Jesus himself says to Nicodemus, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God unless what? You're born again. Paul says, you're in the wrong line. You need to get in this other line, which is according to the Spirit, which is what? Justification by faith, like your father Abraham. And guess what? When you change lines and you go from that which is according to flesh, and you reject all of that tradition according to flesh, and you say, no, I'm going to be like Abraham and I'm going to believe Jesus Christ, guess what? You jump to the head of the line, and you are now standing shoulder to shoulder with Abraham and Isaac and all the patriarchs. You've made it. You're in Christ. You now are what? A child of God. And this is wonderful. This is really important for you and I to understand. So go back to Galatians chapter 4, and what do we want Paul? What does Paul want us to see? What does Paul want us to see? Verse 28, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Isaac's birth, his supernatural birth, what he stands for what? Everyone who's saved, everyone who's a child of God, everyone who's a child of promise, meaning you have looked to Christ by faith, and that is what has made you to be a child of God. And you, brethren, it's right there. How can anybody deny this? How can anybody say that the physical descendants of Abraham, that the Jews right now who are rejecting Christ, that they, according to the flesh, are children of God? No, you who listen to the law, you who want to be under the law, listen to it. Isaac is a child of promise. Paul understands it clearly. That Isaac's status, Isaac's supernatural birth, what? Points to what? The one who believes in Jesus Christ. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But what do we find? Even as it happened with Isaac, remember, Ishmael mocked Isaac. It says here, but at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. We find this conflict, this persecution happening in Roman Catholicism, attacking true Christians. And we even find it today in evangelical churches where certain pastors who are nothing more than dogs, false teachers, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, telling the people of God that how they can become a child of God is by something other than faith in Jesus Christ. So be careful. Be wary of false teachers who will tell you that. But what does it say? What does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. There's only one heir, and it's not the one who's of the bondwoman, cast out, rejected. There is no hope for anyone unless you're in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ alone can make you a child of the free woman to be truly saved. And so we find in Galatians, let's finish with this. In Galatians, it's repeated many times. In Galatians 3 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore be sure it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham." Ishmael is not counted a son of Abraham. Esau is not counted a son of Abraham. Sure, he was according to the flesh. And he was even the firstborn, both of them. Think of it. The firstborn son, Ishmael, disinherited. The firstborn son of Isaac, Esau, was disinherited. It's always the child of the spiritual birth that obtains the inheritance. It's those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of Galatians. "In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that you would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Or also you could look at how about verse 26 of the same chapter? "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So are you with Isaac a child of promise? Are you a son of Abraham? It is not possible according to the flesh. It is not possible by going to Mount Sinai and trying to keep some legalistic frame. No, all it will do is show you're a sinner. Are you in Christ? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you believing in Him? Then what are you? You are a child of God. You are saved. Look to Christ and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, give us the truth in Jesus. Bless us, O Lord, in Him, and deliver us, Lord, from all the many errors that are, Lord, attacking the church, as they do in every generation. Lord, give us that wonderful joy, that wonderful liberty, that wonderful power in Jesus Christ, not submitting ourselves to the doctrines and precepts of men who bring us into bondage. Lord, bless us in Jesus, each one. Lord, we worship you and praise you, and we ask now your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.